إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, in leadership development we have a principle, we call it the principle of the stretch goal, which is to deliberately give people tasks which are difficult to do. So you put a manager in charge of a unit where there is, for example, labor trouble, and you deliberately do that. The reason is not because you want the man to fail, but because you want the man to develop. And as we know, some learning comes from books, but most learning comes from life. So you have to live and learn. So even though there is a risk of failure, we do that. We put people in positions and we give people tasks which are difficult to do. The same principle we apply or should apply in the upbringing of children also. Give them progressively difficult things to do. More and more responsibility in the house and, you know, in the whatever environment. So they learn that. They learn responsibility, they learn to do things and so on and so forth. Of course, sometimes they will fail, but that's okay. That's part of the learning process. Then you sit with them and you see, why did you fail, what happened, how not to repeat the mistake and all of this. The reason I'm beginning with this is because this is exactly the principle that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu uses with us. And we sometimes mistake that and we look at these graded difficulties and so on as punishments or as musiba, which is not, it's not a question of musiba or punishment. It's a question of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala developing us. The reason I'm saying is because if you look at who is Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. So who is Rabb? Rabb is the one who takes something which is incomplete, naqis, stage by stage to a stage of completion, perfection. Shay naqis ko batadrij darja ba darja kamal ke darje pe pahunchaye. Ye pahunchane wale ko Rabb kehte hain. To agar kamal ke darje pe pahunchaye nahi to fir rububiyat kya hui? So if there is no development, and if this thing, whichever it was, in this case it is ourselves, if we remained in that naqis state, in that incomplete stage, and if we never developed to a stage of completion, then where is the sifat of rububiyat manifesting itself in our lives? So for the sifat of rububiyat to manifest itself in our lives, necessarily we must be taken through these stages to a stage of completion, whatever it is in our case. And that is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, stage by stage. So my way of looking at it is, sometimes we say life is not perfect. But in my view, life is actually perfect. If you look at what happens in life, if you understand what is going on, then life is perfect. It's like a person going to the gym. So if you were overweight or whatever it was, you start going to the gym. So the whole body pains. So now there is some pain, there is some, you know, suffering. But the suffering is for your benefit. It's not, you are not going to the gym to destroy yourself. You are going there to, and you know, you have to go through this stage of pain in order to get somewhere. Similarly, may Allah protect you from all kinds of illnesses and so on. But supposing there is something which requires an operation. So you actually voluntarily undergo a stage of losing your consciousness, of getting someone else to cut you up, you know. So blood is flowing, knife is being used and so on and so forth. Now all of them, if all of these things, if you look at the zahir of it, if you look at the what is, you know, visible to us. What is visible? What is visible is that you are lying in a helpless state and there is a stranger with a knife in his hand and he is cutting you. I mean, this is not a good picture. I mean, if you look at it, you say, what kind of thing is this? You know, this is obviously very harmful. Here is a man who is trying to destroy me, is cutting up my chest or whatever he is doing. But if you understand the batin behind it, the reason why it is happening, if you understand the what is hidden behind it, what is hidden behind it is great khair. If that open heart surgery was not done, you would be dead probably. I mean, obviously we live and die according to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I am saying from the asbab, if that open heart surgery was not done, you would lose your life. But because of that open heart surgery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that as a zariah for your life to continue to its normal length, so you get a stranger, and in many cases in our countries and so on and so forth, that stranger is not even a Muslim, some cardiologist who is there. So he comes and he chops you up and so on and so forth, and he does all that, and then you are fine. So if you look at the zahir of it, I mean, the point I'm making is that in life also, we see on the face of it, oh my God, what happened? Why did this happen to me? This loss and so on. That is your operation. You just went into hospital. You just went into hospital. Now you lost some blood and somebody cut you open. But that is the open heart surgery, which is going to give you a new lease of life, so to speak. Now, if we look at it like this, then we see that Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He does is for the good. This is how you understand when people say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, biyadihil khair. You know, in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always good, always khair. And generally also when we say, Allah jo bhi karte hai, khair ke liye karte hai. But it doesn't seem to, I mean, we say this, but, you know, maybe we don't even say that, but the thought is, ye cheez mein kya khair hai? You know, people will say, whatever Allah does, there is khair in it. But you might think, well, you know, well, okay, so that's a good thought, but whatever is happening to me right now, what is the khair? I don't see any khair in this. So if you look at it in the context of this, of what I'm saying, that if you look at this as to say that these are all stages by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to a stage of perfection. And if you understand those stages, then you reach a stage of perfection which is Rida bil Qadar. Actually happiness and pleasure with the Qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are different levels of Iman. There is one, of course, where, you know, something negative happens and you moan and groan. Obviously, that is not good. That is a sign of weakness of Iman and weakness of faith and completely not understanding what the Qadar of Allah is. But hopefully, we at least get to a stage where we don't complain about the Qadar of Allah. So if there is a difficulty or loss or something, at least you don't complain about it. At least you don't speak ill about it. But the actual matlub, what is the desired stage, is a stage of Rida bil Qadar, is actually to be pleased with the Qadar of Allah. To say Alhamdulillah and to feel happiness in a state of loss. This is the actual level of Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this without the trials and tribulations. But I'm saying that is the actual level of Iman that is desired. That a person take the state of Ayyub alayhi salam. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe this whole situation of Ayyub alayhi salam? Here is a man who Allah first gave everything. So it's not as if somebody is born blind. Right? May Allah save us from that. But somebody is born blind. So he never saw, he never knew. I mean, what it is to see, he did not know at all. But somebody who was born perfectly fine, he or she was able to see everything, and then they lose their sight at some point in life, you know, when they are older. Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullah alayhi lost his sight when he was 20 years old. So now that is a very different thing, because here is somebody who never saw anything, so he doesn't know. But here is someone who saw everything and then he loses his sight. It's a huge loss. I mean, it's not only the loss of sight, but the whole psychological trauma of, you know, having lost this thing, having known what it was. So here is Ayyub alayhi salam, who had everything. He had, wealth, and he had power, and he had authority, and he had children, and everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qadr of Allah, one by one, he loses everything. Everything the man loses. His children die, his position goes, his health goes, and he gets going in a way where a disease which is so repulsive that people, you know, actually discard him and they make him go and stay outside the town somewhere and so on and so on. He's suffering physical loss, he's suffering a loss of wealth, material loss, he's suffering psychological loss, mental trauma. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised his reaction. He said, here is a man, in spite of all that, he only has sugar on his tongue. And the only dua which he also made was when the tongue was looked like it was getting affected, he said, oh Allah, do not make my tongue affected so I cannot make your zikr. Do not, even there, do not let my tongue be affected so that I will be prevented from making your zikr. Do not let this happen. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored everything. So the point I'm saying is that in the question of loss and so forth, if we understand what is happening, then it's not loss. And I always give the example of the operation. If you understand what the operation is, nobody in his right senses will say the doctor was trying to kill me, the doctor was trying to, the surgeon was trying to harm me. You know, I lost so much of blood. Does anyone talk about how much blood you lost? No. It is understood if you are going to have open heart surgery, you will lose blood. What else will you? You don't have vinegar in your veins. I mean, I lost vinegar because that's what is in my veins. No. You have blood, you lose blood. What else will you? So the key thing to understand is that whatever Allah Jalla Jalaluhu does is for the khair. And if you understand this example of the operation, then we understand how it is khair. Here is the face of it is not khair, but actually the what is behind it is khair. And that is the reason why the two things of the Muslim, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a Muslim always wins. Because he said if he has something good, he makes shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala rewards him. And if he has something evil which happens to him, some difficulty which happens to him, he has sabr. He does not complain, he has sabr, and he deals with it with patience, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala rewards him. So he gets reward in both cases. Because he recognizes what is going on. He recognizes what is going on. And that recognition is what we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to give us, so that we understand that life is actually perfect. So if someone tells you life is not perfect, no, life is very perfect. Life is actually, how can what Allah made be imperfect? I mean, just the logic of it doesn't apply. Allah does not make bad things. Allah does not make imperfect things. We don't understand what is the meaning of that perfection, but if Allah made it, so you want to find me something which someone other than Allah made? There is no such thing. So if Allah made it, it has to be perfect. Because He is Rabbul Alameen. How can the Rabb make something which is imperfect? How can the Rabb make something which is naqis? No. The Rabb is somebody who takes things to a level of perfection. But this is how it is done. Because to get to the level of perfection, stretch goals, graduated tasks, more and more difficulty. Why? Because you need to build strength. And to build that strength, you have to pass through this times of test. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy for us, to save us from the tests, to forgive us and to grant us protection from our enemies. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in ways that we cannot imagine. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ